Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Oh, yeah. It's a Friday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Masters Friday. You had a take.
I had a good take. I had a good take.
Let's calm down on the word good.
I had a good take.
But you had a take.
I at least had a take, yeah.
All right. Well, he's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer. In for Sal Capaccio here for you on the Extra Point Show. And... yeah, no, Zach, you had an interesting take, but it was prefaced by another interesting take that the guys have been saying for the most of the week there, Josh, about, you know, what
actually,
would you
do? Actually, just the last couple
days. Oh, okay, so it's just the last couple. Well, so, like, basically
it's
the start
the
of the
lead
tournament.
Up. Yeah, it's the lead up to the Masters.
And it kind of got me thinking of, like, what would you do for a Klondike bar kind of conversation that they're having. But I'm going to just go ahead and say this first. I'm with Jeremy 1,000%.
The more I heard him discuss it, I was like, okay, I can understand where you're coming from.
It's the fact that he has to eat the sandwich at the tournament. Here, have this food that you don't like. You have to eat it at the place that we're giving you a free trip for. Tell me that that doesn't ruin the trip.
I mean, for me, it won't. I've met people like that. I'm not just Jeremy, so I'm like, all right, I can understand it. For me, I'm a foodie. I'll try everything once. Very few things are ever going to like be awful.
And yet you can't try to listen to rules.
Because I think they're archaic.
You're right. They are.
Yeah, it's more there.
And at the same time, you're also the person that won't answer me when I call you.
Yeah, I didn't put that out there because I didn't want to like sell myself out. I will regularly on like phone detox.
Ready? That's my job. Yeah. That's what friends are for.
I will regularly go on like, yeah, I just won't look at my – I'll turn my phone off for like 2 hours when I'm reading.
You will look at the phone, see that someone has called you and say, I'm reading.
It's my reading time. It's my time. I'll get back to him.
So you'll put your phone away for 6 hours to read.
No, not 6 hours. Like at most, it's like two. It's like
and you
two.
Say the Masters has archaic rules.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, you're totally reading paper.
You're reading vape? Actually, Josh will see. I have my Kindle here today, so I'm not
anymore.
Actually,
you don't.
Not anymore. It's gone.
It's gone.
No, so it is Masters Week. We're having fun with it. I, you know, as much grief as I'm giving it, I genuinely, since I've gotten into golf, I love the majors, the Masters commercials that pop up when the Super Bowl is going on and, you know, it's snowing everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, baby, spring's on its way. I love this kind of time of year. Today, not so much, but it is the
weather is rarely cooperative.
Almost never. Yeah. But I do love this time of year. So, like, I was watching all day yesterday. I'm going to be watching all day today. I've been really enjoying it. And I think it's a good reprieve a little bit, at least for me, from draft coverage. I do a lot of it. I read a lot of mock drafts. I want to know what's going on with every team, where every team is sitting. Because I like how the puzzle gets made.
It's funny. You're looking for the reprieve, and I'm making the mock draft that I'm releasing next week.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
There's no rest for the wicked.
But I do enjoy it. Like it's a little bit of a reprieve for me. It's the same with the NCAA tournament where it's like, okay, it's something else I'm genuinely excited about.
And I'll get behind that because you and I, like, you're the most excited person in the building for March Madness. I might have been the second.
Yeah.
And then it went chalk.
It's very chalky. The Final Four was excellent.
But also it was still chalk.
It was still chalk. I'm curious to see how next year goes.
I'm going to say this. Florida's not allowed to be good.
No, Florida can be good.
Florida's not allowed to be good because that's when the tournaments go chalk.
Well, yeah.
My correlation at this point. I'm sticking to it.
Don't give me 4 years of back-to-back champions because UConn went back-to-back. Then this year they lost. Don't give me Florida. That's my thing. Florida can make the Final Four they want. Don't give me them as the national champion. That's it. That's all
already?
I want.
It's already? I think I'm allowed to say it. Florida's not allowed to be good next year. Or as good.
I'll say as good. As good. They can still be good.
Don't give them a one seed again.
Well, yeah. Don't give them the SEC championship, tournament championship, because they didn't win the regular season.
Don't give me another Florida one seed, because when Florida gets a one seed, it goes chalk.
Yeah, things go horribly wrong.
Things go predictably.
They can be good, and I hate that. They can be good, not great.
I hate predictable. I hate solely predictable.
Yeah.
How's that?
That's fair. That's fair. We are going to talk Masters today. Kevin Sylvester is going to join us at 11 in studio. Very excited for that. One of our hosts for Tee to Green, also a PGA Tour commentator. He's also on ESPN Plus a lot as well. Very, very excited for that. Going to be in studio. Also, of course, going to talk the draft. Some curious things there. And I really enjoyed the conversations from One Bills Live yesterday and some of the others that I've heard on the station, just dream scenarios that you'd like to see form in the first three picks. Sal Capaccio, before he went on his much-deserved vacation, was with Bulldog yesterday and was talking about those early picks, but also the draft as a whole. And he had mentioned that he thinks those three picks, he'd be surprised if the one and the two twos aren't all defense. That is where he thinks the Bills are going to go. I find that curious.
I find that awesome.
I'm not disagreeing.
You're talking about dream scenarios?
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing.
Give me 1, 2, 3 on the defense.
I'm not totally disagreeing, but I do find it interesting, and Jeremy's pointed this out, that of all the positions the Bills have brought in for visits, wide receiver leads the way. And I think as much as we can all agree, they do still have needs on defense, maybe more than any. Cornerback two, big boy in the middle, safety even. I don't totally think their wide receiver room is at its peak. It's at its best to where you can go, okay, we're good. Now this draft class, I think, has kind of openly been acknowledged. Doesn't have a ton of those guys. They might have only two guys go in the first round, maybe three, we'll see, with Tet McMillan, Matthew Golden, maybe Emeka Ebuka, maybe Luther Burden. But doesn't seem to be a lot of those guys. It does seem to be a ton of your number twos, your number threes, with skill sets that the Bills themselves don't have. Curtis Samuel started to come on at the end of the year, but sort of the entire year up until those last 3-4 games, including the playoffs, he was a non-factor. And that really hurt what the Bills wanted to do on offense. Khalil Shakir, I'd argue maybe their best receiver is a slot receiver. Keon Coleman, Derek, me and you have talked about it a lot with him. What are we talking about with him if he doesn't get hurt? Well, we don't really live in that world. We live in a world where he got hurt for 4 games and the coaching staff and management didn't have a ton of positive things to say about that period after he was hurt. Now they've somewhat walked it back a little bit to go, well, we have no issues with Keon Coleman, but they were pretty negative on his injury and recovery process.
I will say, the pre-draft visits thing is interesting because of the 40 selections that the Bills have made.
Mm-hmm.
Within the past several years of the Bean McDermott era, 10 of them are pre-draft visits.
Mm-hmm.
So do take note of the trends. The amount of receivers is noteworthy. Where the receivers are projected to go for that wide receiver group is noteworthy. Because that might tell you a direction in a certain round of where they're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine it looks like, based on the visits, probably second. Or find a way to trade into day three or into round three and get a receiver there. Because that's what it looks like based on the receivers that they're scouting or having in for visits. That's the range. Because typically, from what I see with the Bills and their pre-draft visits, it's a ranking process. You have 30 visits per year, so obviously the percentage is going to be low. But the Bills' drafting percentage of the players that had pre-draft visits is not very high. Mm-hmm. It's 25%.
Mm-hmm. I would like to know. I know.
And for good measure here, Ed Oliver,
mm-hmm.
Kyrie Elam, Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds
first-round
picks that were pre-draft visits.
Mm-hmm.
James Cook, Keon, Dawson Knox, Justin Shorter, Foshan Joseph.
Really, I look at that as look at their draft visits. That's who your first-round pick will be. One of these guys.
And again, it's a rankings process, I think,
mm-hmm.
for them of, all right, we want to find out who our first-round pick is. So, there is going to be someone that gets taken as a pre-draft visit that's a first-rounder. The fact that they've had six wide receivers tells me they're probably going to hunt and find their way getting back into round three.
Mm-hmm.
I got to stop saying day three because it's not the case.
It's day two.
It's day two. It's round three. I got I don't know why I keep saying it that way. I got to slow down. But they probably want to trade back in to the third round and grab a wide receiver based on that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they've had six of them in for pre-draft visits is telling. It means they're genuinely interested in throwing a pick out there, throwing a flyer in at the position. It's just not going to be right away.
Well, so let's go through just some of the noted guys that have been brought in for workouts. I think this would be cornerbacks, Siobhan Revell Jr., the one out of ECU, Trey Amos, cornerback out of Ole Miss, Dorian Strong, cornerback out of Virginia Tech, defensive ends out of UCLA. I am not going to try that name. Braden Swinson, the edge out of LSU. I know a lot of people brought him up as sort of that interesting round four kind of guy. Defensive tackle, Tylek Williams out of Ohio State.
Yep.
And Omar Norman Lott, the defensive tackle out of Tennessee. Safety, Billy Bowen Jr. out of Oklahoma. And then the wide receivers, Isaiah Bond, Texas. Jalen Lane, Virginia Tech. Lambert Smith, Auburn. Audrey Smith, Georgia. Isaac Tisala, wide receiver, Arkansas. And then we do know Royals is coming in next week. I think there's a few Correct. Other guys that haven't officially come in. It's going to be more next week. Who are you seeing on that that's going to be their first-round pick? I'm all of a sudden seeing Tylek Williams, Revell, and Amos.
I don't think Tylek Williams is a first-round candidate.
I know, but those are like the only like that's three a guy, but I'm looking
guy,
at.
Yeah, but that's a guy you can get in the second round.
Mm-hmm. But those are the
Ready? You
only
know what that,
three
You know
right
what it screams
now?
To me? We're sitting here at 12:30 and they trade down.
Mm.
That's what it screams to me. And they get a third-round pick in addition on their trade down. Yep. Be ready for the long Thursday next week, Zach.
There was one. One GM. I am blanking on who it was, but I saw a report maybe from Diana Rossini that no one was talking about trading up. They keep hearing rumblings that people are just going to stay where they're at, take who's there. There's really not many people worth trading up for. And so that might be a thing, too, that the Bills can't really trade back. No one wants to trade up and go. We've talked that discussion,
yes.
too.
Bills trading up is something that a lot of people do seem to want. I'm starting to realize, yeah, that might be fewer and farther in between at this point. As for who might want to trade up and for what, let's remember something very real here. It could be a quarterback that a team wants to trade up for.
Mm-hmm.
Say the Giants want someone in their long-term future. Say the Browns want to go ahead and grab Jackson Dart, as you have posited the theory before. The quarterback class is not good enough that teams are going to willingly take the high pick for it. But a team like the Cleveland Browns picking early in the second round is a peak trade-up candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills could be that team that says, yeah, we'll play ball. And then everyone's throwing their arms up and going, I stayed up for this again.
Not again. I will understand the frustration.
The end of the first round is far different with trade activity than the start of it.
I will understand that frustration, and part of me will be right there with people. Because for me, this draft is you need to get instant impact players. I'm not saying they need to be superstars, but your first three picks need to be starters. That's why a lot of us have brought up defense, because that's the easiest route. You need help on defense. If you get three starters from your first three picks, fantastic.
It's also because the draft class is
exactly the draft class
dictating
is not,
the way the draft class is dictating is it's deep at positions that you just so happen to need.
You need, and I've kind of heard it talked about, is like this starter draft.
You can get a starter in the first two rounds pretty easily in this draft class on defense.
You may not get superstars, but you potentially could get
starters.
Which is oddly
enough what the Bills need.
Yes.
They have good players. They've had good players. They've always had good players. They're lacking that true superstar on defense again.
But that doesn't always mean that's 100% correct.
Right, because you grab a guy and the next thing you know, if he blossoms at pick 30, what teams were cognizant of that? Not many.
I look at a player we just mentioned who's coming to visit, Revell, the cornerback out of ECU. Most acknowledge before his ACL injury was a top 15, top 20 player in this draft class, easily. Finishes out this year, let's say, no injury. Is he all of a sudden that somebody is up there going, is a superstar potential? But now there's questions. Well, is he going to be ready for rookie camp? Is he going to be ready for training camp? How much is this ACL injury going to hold him back? That's what makes him available to you potentially at 30. I know Nate Geary is big on him and would take him in round one happily.
And honestly, I'd be okay with it.
Yep. Kenneth Grant is someone I've brought up a lot.
Kenneth Grant is your guy.
Where if Mason Graham wasn't next to him for 3 years, are we having a different conversation about him? But because he was the Batman to Kenneth Grant's Robin, he's all of a sudden now considered, he's really good, really good. He just wasn't the guy. But if he goes next to Ed Oliver next year, does Oliver, and this is maybe a key point for me too. Oliver had 9.5 sacks 2 years ago. Let's just use sacks. 9.5 sacks 2 years ago when Daquan Jones was battling some of his health issues. But to start the year was incredible.
Right.
And then he gets hurt in Jacksonville. Grant goes next to Oliver. If Oliver goes back to 10-ish sacks, 11 sacks, high pressure rates,
even
there's your superstar.
Even 8 or 8.5.
Yeah, there's your superstar at defensive tackle. Siobhan Revell, let's say he's a really good cornerback round year one.
He's going to have to earn that because Christian Benford
He'll be cornerback two if he earns it out of camp.
What I'm saying is he's going to have to show very quickly that he's good because Christian Benford's on the other side, and I'm not going to say that teams are scared to throw at him, but they're not as willing, probably. You're picking on the rookie.
But it was also much easier to not throw to Benford last year because the second cornerback position, not all that great. Rasul Douglas really struggled at times last year. We all know what happened with Kyrie Elam. And does that all of a sudden make Benford your superstar on defense?
But then you look at the other side and you just go, I'm going to pick on the rookie.
Yeah.
So the rookie will have to earn his stripes very quickly.
And if he's good right out of the gate, which most things on tape tell you if he's healthy, he will be very good. And he only had the one injury. Yes, it is a torn ACL, but only the one. That's my thing is I think the Bills have potentially some stars on their defense. They did not help those stars the last few years. Missing on Elam has hurt you massively because you didn't just miss on him. He is an all-time bust for the Bills. He should be. He should be up there.
He is considered that at that point, yes.
Where Benford, was a hit. But could you imagine if you had Elam and Benford? Let's just say Elam was fine. Good. You could play him. There's your cornerback two. You're fine.
If he's cornerback two starting worthy.
You're good. We're not having any discussions about cornerback.
We're not. Now it's actually a massive need.
But also, what would that maybe have done for Benford if Elam wasn't a guy that you could just target easily? Juju Smith-Schuster, just having him fall down. Benford maybe isn't the 13th highest paid cornerback. You maybe don't get that nice deal, but you maybe are like, hey, we have a superstar there, and the defense held up better. Daquan Jones doesn't get hurt. We maybe aren't having the conversation as aggressively about defensive tackle, but maybe Ed Oliver continues his ascension, where now he's up and down. It's frustrating.
It's interrupted.
I think there's a few spots where the Bills could have superstars already, or not superstars, but stars, Pro Bowl players at these positions. We also don't know anything about Cole Bishop yet. There's a few spots here where there's a reason why they were in the 1-seed conversation last year. They were a good team. I think they were playing a little bit above their talent level with the turnover differential to get to where they were. But they're still a very good team. It's also why betting markets have them as the highest, you know, win totals right now, like 11.5. They're still a very good team.
Because they still do this.
Yeah, they're still a very good team. Offense is funny enough where I am genuinely questioning where the superstars are, where any of the star potential is. Defense, I think they may have guys.
Yeah.
They just need to help those guys out. Offense, I'm like,
hang on.
Allen?
Ready?
Maybe Cook?
Dion? You could have a star defensive or star offensive tackle. It's a real thing.
Spencer Brown as well has kind of proven to be one of the better white tackles.
The tackles have become important cogs on that offense.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a great offensive line, life gets easier for even your good to okay players.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills have proven that.
But when you look at skill positions, which the last few years they've spent big assets. Yeah, but they've spent big assets on these guys and they're good to okay. James Cook, we're having discussions about potentially paying him. I would put him to good to very good.
Yes.
Dalton Kincaid, we were talking off air. Put him in the same category as like a Xavier Worthy. That's cool that he gets open all the time. But where's the production? You know, he's okay. And he was a first-round pick. Keon Coleman, we're having the discussion. What is he like if he doesn't get hurt? Well, he did. And we live in that world.
And
he
now
was
it turns
okay.
into an okay rookie season.
It was an okay rookie season. There's too many of the OKs in these Bills drafts or bad. I don't think Brandon Bean's a bad drafter. I think he's had a bad run. But Howie Roseman has had bad runs as the Eagles general
manager.
It's
interesting. I think of it more as he has a flaw in his drafting. He's a good drafter. It's that he's not maximizing his value in the first round, which is typically where GMs get in hot water.
Well, they're the most expensive and they're the guys that were supposed to come in. And we mentioned to start the segment, where you get immediate starters.
But then he makes up the ground immediately after.
Mm-hmm.
Second and third round is where he hits a lot of times. Fourth round, if he actually uses the pick and doesn't trade it, it's
very
great.
Good. Usually very good.
Usually very good. Ray Davis is your quote-unquote low point right now.
Yeah.
And that's only because he played 1 year. Like it's even just, Gabe Davis is like, that's a solid fourth round pick.
Yeah.
That's a return on investment on your fourth rounder. Khalil Shakir gets a second contract. Christian Benford gets a second contract. Matt Milano gets a second contract. Taron Johnson, second contract. And one of the best nickel corners in football. Like, he actually makes up ground in rounds 2 through 6, typically. Round 7, it's tough to really land anybody that sticks on a roster. But even the Bills, Dane Jackson was a starter for a couple of seasons for this team.
Is Dane Jackson still in the league?
He's with...
I know he's with Carolina, I believe, last year.
Us now.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
They did sign him back. That's right. He was with Carolina last year. They signed him back.
I'm sure you didn't, like, have a brain reset.
So they brought him back. He's been in the league since getting drafted.
That's
a starter for Carolina last year.
Seventh round pick right there.
Yep.
Great job. You got something out of it. It's just funny how good
he is.
And
they are not bringing back Russell Douglas, by the way.
No.
That just hit me again. I'm like, they're not bringing him back.
And I like the player. I like the personality that he is. It's just unfortunate. You got to move on, though. It's a cold business in football. And it's cold business talking about it like that. But he makes up ground so well with rounds 2 through 6, typically with the occasional round 7 score. Just do a little bit better with your first rounders. Make sure that they're not just okay. Make sure that your first selection in the draft hits a little harder, has a little bit more of a consistent impact. Because I can even look at Greg Rousseau and he's like, he's good.
Well, and that's the thing too. I think there's a confusion between good and then Hall of Famer.
Or good and star.
Yeah, and there are levels to this, and I think that's... Look, you hope every pick's going to be a Hall of Famer. They likely won't. You get one every decade or so. Josh Allen's theirs. But like, where are their guys?
Where are the Pro Bowlers?
Maybe an All Pro year here and there.
Yeah, if Pro Bowlers were normally selected, and there was a normal game that was actually played.
I agree.
Where are the other players?
But my thing is, where are your named guys?
And
fan knows.
And that's what you mean by that. Like, when Pro Bowls were actually a thing, and they actually meant something, my Pro Bowlers are probably Deion, Spencer, Cook.
And Allen. And Cook is a genuine discussion.
Josh. Yeah. But that's it. On my offense, those are the names. On defense, who around the league do they know as a mainstay?
Ed Oliver. He's it.
And then, based on production, Terrell Bernard and Christian Benford get their flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So you have one at each level. But you need another one to step that up as well. Because I named four players on the offense.
Mm-hmm.
I only got to three on the defense. And even then, I was trying to force those two into the conversation.
Yeah, and the big one, Oliver, is a constant question mark.
Yeah.
And so does seem to need a ton of help in the middle.
All three of the defensive names that I gave you, it's like each one of them, nationally, I don't know if people know.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did people have to say on social media, you got to learn ball, Christian Benford's great?
Yeah, eventually that gets old to the point where it's like, okay, it's my same thing with, look, analytic numbers may love this receiver. Where's the production?
Yep. And Terrell Bernard, for example,
it's the same thing. Yeah, with Benford. I love that the analytics are nearly comparing him to Patrick Surtain. But he's not Patrick Surtain, you know? And I'm not asking him to necessarily be that. But these first-round picks, these second-round picks, they need to be starters. They need to be guys that, yeah, when they come into the league, people know them because of draft night, and then they hit the ball rolling.
Yes.
You know, Kincaid probably should be one of those guys. He was a first-round pick, played really well at Utah, killed USC.
He's basically a wide receiver.
And they have never figured out how to get him the ball, whether it be Allen, Kincaid, both, all of it. They have never been able to consistently get him the ball. It's the same conversation with Worthy. Oh, well, you know, they missed Worthy for 900 air yards. Great. Mahomes is a bad deep ball thrower the last 2-3 years.
So it's surprisingly not a great fit.
Yeah, so it has actually turned out to be a pretty awful fit. Keon finished.
It's 1 year.
Keon missed four games.
No, I know.
And finished 100 yards under Worthy.
And I'm saying this for both of those players. It's 1 year. We still all need to calm down.
Well, we'll see if he gets suspended, him and Rashee Rice may. So that may end up being
that's true. Fan. The Bills don't have that hanging over their heads.
But so it's the same thing of like, just show me the baby. Don't tell me the process. Just get me to production. That's the thing.
Show me the baby, don't tell me the process.
That's it. I mean, that's it. The Bills are at a point now, I don't care about the analytical numbers. I know they're good. I don't need to be told how they might be good. It's the same in hockey where, you know, the Sabres, the underlying numbers actually kind of, no, I don't care.
Get it done.
The Bills have entered that point. I mean, it's a different.
Sabres, it's a different version of the context.
Where it's, get it done.
Get it done.
Get to the Super Bowl. Win it. Beat the Chiefs when it matters.
Beat the Chiefs in the postseason, please.
And so
that said, I got to be careful wishing on that on a monkey's paw.
Well,
because I'm not going to have the same thing that happened with, man, I just need the Sabres to beat the Bruins out this year. Yeah, no, I don't need that wish. Yeah, beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. You get them in the divisional round, you beat them, and then you lose the championship game.
Yeah, to like Baltimore or something like that.
Not like that.
But I don't like getting that frustrated with it, but it has gotten to that point with me where it's not – I don't like the term Super Bowl or bust. It has hit that point. I think it's hit that point for Baltimore. I think it's hit that point, honestly, even for someone like Cincinnati where they haven't even made the playoffs the last 2 years. But in reality, you made the Super Bowl, and you've been kind of garbage since. Get it done. We all know you're good enough to get it done. You got to do it. The Chiefs and the Eagles seem to be the only ones that can do it right now.
We don't need context anymore, basically. Yep.
803-0550, the number to call. How important is this draft for the Bills? What do you want to see in those first three picks? Love to hear your thoughts again. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR.
Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. And a little earlier than expected, because he's a consummate professional, you hear him on Tee to Green every Saturday morning with Brian Koziel and Jeff Midas. And you've heard him around the New York media landscape for years and years.
Wow.
It's Kevin Sylvester.
It's quite the New York media landscape. I think I like the sound of that.
And
I was worried he was going to add another years in there.
More importantly, you also get to hear him on ESPN Plus on PGA Tour Radio. Kevin Sylvester joining us now in studio.
You know, funny story about that, and good to be with you guys. A couple weeks ago, there was a guy kind of auditioning at PGA Tour Live on ESPN Plus. And he's in the green room, and I introduced myself. He's like, "Actually, you know, I'm a Rochester guy, and I grew up watching you." I said, "Oh, crap." You could have just said, "I enjoyed your work on the Sabres broadcast on MSG." But when he said, "Grew up watching me," I'm like, "Dude, how old are you?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm like 25. I'm like, maybe you did grow up watching me."
Okay. Maybe I'll do that. I have the same problem working with Mike and Chris, and going like, "Oh, yeah, I listened to you guys growing up." But like, we work with you now, man. Don't say that. Don't say that.
I've said this on the show before, so I don't know if you guys know this, and Josh probably doesn't there behind the glass. You know, Bulldog and I came into the business together. Mm-hmm. He was at WBEN. I was at GR. We were interns, and we were both assigned as interns to cover the Buffalo Stampede indoor roller hockey team.
Yes.
With head coach Rob Ray. Yes. Oh yeah.
Oh
yes.
No.
And I love to. I even
we
tweeted out
Razor
this
head coaching position.
I tweeted this out on I think it was the day of Rob's Sabres Hall of Fame induction, well deserved. And then we want to talk golf, but I remember one particular game. Might have been the first game, and the star player was John Vecchiarelli for the team, the indoor. Mm-hmm. Like he was Mr. Indoor Roller Hockey, and Razor was the coach while he was still playing. You know, the Sabres is kind of like a summer gig. Yep. And we go down there, and it's just Bulldog and I.
Yep.
It might have been somebody from the news at the time. And we're like, "Hey, Rob." And he goes, "Guys, I just go ask Vecchiarelli. I have no idea."
Yeah.
just go ask him.
Said that with a beer in his hand. Like, okay, we'll do that.
Some of the early Rob Ray stories are hysterical.
Any of the Rob Ray stories are hysterical.
Just the beat up hand after a fight, he's going to shake it. You're like, "Dude, get away from me. Come on, man."
I'm at the prospects tournament earlier this summer, and he goes ahead and causes trouble for Paul. So
there was the first year we did the shows together. We used to be out of, and I only met because I was driving by the building the other day, the old Adelphia building. We used to do the post-game show out of the old hockey hotline set that Robitaille and Brian Blessing, God rest his soul, worked out of. And, you know, it was an evening we come out, and I pull up, and Rob pulls in his truck that he had, and there's a buck hanging out the back. I'm like, "Did you just come from the field?" He's like, "Yeah, I just got this thing. I'll take care of that later."
I'll take care of that.
So he had
incredible.
We had venison, fresh venison in the back while we're talking about the Sabres and New York Islanders that night. It was great.
Oh boy. Yeah, no, there's no end to those sorts of things. And as much as, you know, we would love to keep exchanging stories here with Kevin Sylvester, we do have a job to do.
Kinda.
You know, we can play this pretty loose.
Let's have some fun.
Well, hey, whatever.
Hey, Kev, what about the Sabres? kidding on that.
Everybody asked me about him. What do I think? And I feel for the fans because, you know, we all love the Sabres. And I have a 15-year-old who just loves hockey. And he said this to me last year. And, you know, he was too young to remember, the playoff years. He was on skates. He remembers, like, the holiday skates and, you know, petting Ryan Miller's dog at the Christmas party and stuff. But he doesn't remember the playoffs. And he goes, "Dad, I just want one game. I don't even need a 7-game series. I just want to see my team in one playoff game." You think about there's a whole generation of fans who haven't had that feeling.
Yeah. They know the Sabres as only bad.
Yep.
Yes.
It's weird.
So it's kind of like my older son who, you know, only knew the Bills as bad and now is enjoying the fruits of what's occurred here, you know, under Sean McDermott and Josh Allen. So
I'm seeing Owen raising his hand right now.
Yeah, right, reference to that.
So,
well, Owen's old enough to remember when they were in the playoffs. Sabres. Yes.
So, yeah, everyone here is at least old enough to remember that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Levi will be the goalie next year. Is he nodding back there? He should be the goalie next year. They did the right thing. Did the right thing. I think they had to, start him up here last year to get him signed, to get the deal done, make a promise, follow through with your promise.
Yes. If you made the promise, you want to stick with it.
Makes sense to have him spend the most of this year in Rochester, learn how to win, dominate like he's been doing for the most part, and then next year he's your guy.
Yeah. I think that it'll be interesting, and you know, there's enough time to talk about the Sabres, unfortunately, throughout the offseason.
Yeah, we'll leave that for the guys coming up at noon, right?
Yeah, or even just I'll leave this to us at some day in the summer.
Yeah. Update on the Masters, by the way. Rory has hit a birdie. He's 1-under for the tournament and the day. And Oberg's green sweater has been taken off. He's wearing a yellow shirt. I'm upset.
I thought you said you didn't like it.
I the yellow shirt underneath is worse.
All right.
Well, those put the
cardigan back
now
on.
Now it sounds like you're hating.
Those are the Masters colors, though.
I know, but it's Friday.
Oh.
Come on.
I take it, then. You didn't hear what he had to say earlier today.
I'm sorry. I did not.
So my thing with the Masters.
Hey, here's this bus, Zach.
My thing with the Masters. I love watching all the majors. I've really gotten into golf the last 3 years, and I enjoy it. Like, I've genuinely been looking forward to this week since the first commercial comes on during the Super Bowl, which feels like a punishment when we're in Buffalo and it's snowing sideways. I find the Masters rules to be archaic and just ridiculous, and I don't want to go.
In what regard? Like, can't bring phones in?
Can't bring phones, the digital cameras only during the practice rounds. Like, come on, guys.
Here we go.
I like the tradition of it. I mean, it's in the line, like Jim Nance's call, a tradition like any other. And, you know, they have a certain way about how they want to do things, and that's it. So,
and they're not going to change. That's okay.
They're not. No. Well, yeah, they're not going to change because they don't need to.
And I think that's the thing, too, is like, I think way more people are on your side than mine, where it's like, no, it's the Masters. Like, there is that mystique and aura about it.
Well, here's what I like about the no phone policy, because you go to any event now, if you're even at a concert, you know, you're always, you got your phone out and you're videoing it and you're watching your phone instead of what's happening. So if Derek Kramer is on the tee box at the par 5 second at Augusta National. Mm-hmm.
First of all, that means someone's going to get hit on Ash.
Well, let's say I'm behind, okay? So I'm safe. But I'm pulling out my phone to take a video of it rather than watching it.
Yeah.
Like, everybody has their phones out to do it. I'm like,
it effectively replaced the camera flash. Like, you know, any Super Bowl kickoff, you see the famous camera flashes all around the stadium. It replaces that now, unfortunately, and it looks a little bit more.
But you're there. Just watch it and take it in, and now that's what they're forcing you to do.
That's the funny thing, is that's more what I am. I don't really take videos, pictures, or anything. Like, I get yelled at constantly when I go on vacation. Like,
it's just,
did you take pictures?
You want to be a rebel?
Like,
no.
You don't need to take a picture. You were there.
Yeah, I'm there.
You took
exactly.
a couple for your own sake.
But it's more I want to be a rebel. I'm like, no, it's okay. Come on, guys, let's change.
You're just like, you can't tell me what to do.
Exactly.
You know what you are?
Stand up to the man.
You're a 14-year-old being told to go to your room.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
It's anti this business, right? Media. And I'm guilty of it. I rarely – I'll take photos with some, you know, people, and I won't post them because they're just for my own archives, if you will. But there are people in this business who, you know, they brush their teeth, they put it on video, or they take a picture 100%. Of their toothbrush, right? So,
you got to get the clicks on Instagram.
That's what they want to do? Go ahead.
Well, let's get to the Masters. We are into round two. One of the storylines from yesterday and even continuing today, Justin Rose. I don't really know if anyone expected him to, at one point during round one, lead by 4 strokes. He's still leading by 3 right now, 7 under par. He's even through the day. Brian was saying yesterday, he hasn't been playing particularly well leading up to the tournament.
He was, might have been Arnold Palmer. Yeah, it was the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He got a sponsor's exemption because he's sponsored by MasterCard. That tournament's sponsored by MasterCard. Send him an invoice for mentioning their name twice. But anyways, he got a special invite to that tournament, and he performed well. Made the cut. It's a very hard golf course, Bay Hill. And he made the cut, and he was making a push on Saturday. Kind of fell off a little bit on Sunday. But he played well there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really his first night. Actually, not. He played well at AT&T too, Pebble Beach, a tournament that he has won before. So I'm not completely surprised at Justin Rose performing well. I don't think anybody expected him to lead, but he's had success here before. He's been a runner up in the past. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him push on the weekend. What can he do it over 4 days? That's the big question. And you know, Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah,
I talked to interviewed him after a round in Phoenix. He competed in Phoenix, and he was it was his first event back actually from the hand injury. And he was in good position. It was a Friday, and I said, Scottie, it seems like you always crescendo. You know, like you rarely see Scottie. You'll see him in the top 10.
But he's not going to lead the 40.
He usually doesn't lead after round one or round two. Round three he does. In round four, he's either leading and hanging on or he comes back from a big margin. And his comment to me was, well, they do compete the event over 72 holes. And so that's the mindset. He wants to go out and play well. Obviously, you don't want to have a bad day. But, you know, Scottie, he's not worried three back.
He truly plays it as like, this is just, it's a marathon.
Okay, I'm going to go out here tomorrow. I'm going to go out on Friday and shoot four, maybe. If I can get to five under, fabulous. He'll be in great shape on the weekend. Shoots three under, he's in great shape.
And the thing, for him, yesterday, bogey-free. He talked about it too, you know, at this golf course, especially if you go mistake-free, you're probably going to post a good score. And yeah, he's only three back, and he has got this feeling about him. I know last year was a huge season for him, but I know a lot of fans have mentioned him as sort of not Tiger, but there is this feeling is like, is he going to be a guy that wins three, four, five of these gold jackets? He just seems to play so well at Augusta.
Well, there's a couple things he does well. Mentally speaking, he's got the right approach. And he didn't win until he got Ted Scott on the bag.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. Like he got someone on the bag that he trusts and helps him just hit the right shots. For example, 17 yesterday. That's a whole Rory. I know we're going to talk about Rory.
Yeah.
Rory doubled because he went long. Scottie made par because he didn't want to go long. Mm-hmm. So it was either going to be a perfect shot or in the bunker. And he left himself in the bunker, hit a great bunker shot, and made the six-footer for par. That's what Scottie Scheffler does. It's a game of misses, especially at Augusta National, and you got to miss in the right spots.
Yep.
That's what Scheffler does.
And then to Rory. At one point, mistake-free, four under, the same thing, and then Brian Koziel and Bulldog bring him up yesterday, and it all went to hell. I mean, he ends the day even par, and he was wrapping up his back nine.
Did I see the – you got to go to break? All right,
we're
that's a tease. I'll talk about Rory when we come back.
That was exactly where I was going to go with that. Kevin is picking up what I'm putting down. We'll come back with more for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, Kev Sylvester with us. This is WGR. Welcome back. Last segment of hour number one of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, Kevin Sylvester in earlier than promised, but happy that he's here as we're having a lot of fun here. And now, I accidentally turned hour number one into like a shipping container, large portion of people, because Josh, Owen, and I have something to let the people know about here. And we are members of the WGR team for the 11-day power play. And the three of us, the brainchild that we managed to come up with here about a charity stream on May 18th.
Oh, and that's the date we're going with?
That is the date we're going with. I said this to you a couple days ago. Wait, I was here yesterday.
What did I eat for breakfast today, Derek? I don't know. Well, I don't remember these things.
Look, man, as someone that has like probably seven concussions, I remembered more than you did, so I'll take that.
I can join you in the concussion.
Let's not have
dive, but I won't.
Yeah, we don't need to measure.
That's not really
this.
Where we need to take this show right now.
We don't need to measure this, unfortunately. Yeah, but
exactly.
So Owen, Josh, and myself, we're going to do a charity stream with the WGR YouTube page as well, and try to have some fun, raise some money for the 11-day power play. We'll have people like Zach Jones on. For that, we'll have guests throughout the afternoon as well. But also, just to help these guys get some money to their pages, at 11daypowerplay.com, you can look up Josh Schmidt. You can look up Owen Parker. You can find their pages. Help
make sure
them
to spell
out,
my name right.
And make sure to spell Josh's name right. How do you spell it? Josh.
One T, no D, S-C-H-M-I-T.
There you go. And mine's pretty easy, just
yeah,
Owen Parker.
If you can't spell Owen Parker, that is your fault, not mine. But again, it's going to be fun to be able to play with you again.
Yeah,
at the 11-day.
I have not put the gear on since I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, playing junior hockey. So I'm going to have to get a skate or two in before that.
Shake the rust off.
But I'm unbelievably excited for the 11-day, and you know, any support that anyone out there is willing and able to give would be much appreciated. It's
Josh and I got put with an anchor last year in Allen Davis.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was rough.
We scored 5 goals, though, as a line.
How many did he score?
He scored 2 of them. I scored 2 of them. You scored 1.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an anchor. I don't know if that's like an anchor.
Well, hang on.
Who drove the line?
Who drove the line? It was me.
All right.
It was me.
All right. We'll see.
I have no reason to explain to you why it was me, but it was me.
Fair enough.
I'm not supposed to. As a matter of fact, I got salty when he took me off of line 1 last year.
That's tough. A lot of people get salty about that.
But we've seen it, you know, in hockey circles and everything. Sometimes you play motivated, right, Kev?
Well, yeah, you know, there are tools. Ice time is the only tool usually a coach, particularly now, can use, and even sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah, well,
depends on the contract.
Apparently it worked. It worked for me.
I had a question. Did Allen have the new hips when he scored the 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that explains it then.
Yeah, a little bit.
Everything gets better with new hips, right?
Everything gets better with new hips, and that's the line we're ending this segment with as we go into hour number 2. Kev Sylvester will join us more for plenty of golf talk, not just the Masters. We'll touch on Liv as well. Rory, that was the tease, and come back with that. Coming up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, I'm Derek Kramer. That's Zach Jones. You'll hear more coming up next on WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
I completely forgot that we had those restrooms on the left of the tee box, and then I'm like, I really need to pee. Didn't really know where to go, and since JT had an issue around the green, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sneak here in the river. Probably the people would not see me that much, and then they clap for me. Probably one of the clubs that I really got today, like real loud, so that was kind of funny.
Are you concerned that there might be any blowback from that at all? Or I mean, obviously, they did see you, right?
Yeah, they saw me, they saw me. I mean, it was not embarrassing at all for me, so if I had to do it again, I would do it again.
My favorite golfer ever.
Oh boy.
I have no idea who that is, but I'd do it again.
Jose Luis Ballester.
And he's an amateur, correct?
Yes.
That's awesome.
He also had the upside down hat logo, which Joe is
all
about.
Oh no, he's
about.
The same guy?
Yep.
Oh same no. Guy. Oh no. Well,
there goes the stalker already there.
You like that?
Oh,
the upside down logo?
No, I hate the upside down logo.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I hate it too.
Yep.
The pee in the crick, it's kind of funny. The upside down hat, I'm like, dude. No.
Yep. Stock immediately went down. I can tell.
Oh, now I'm upset. Did he get kicked out yet? Do we know? No updates yet? Is he playing?
It's because of the upside down hat now.
They wanted to slap his hand, but they wanted to make sure he washed him first.
they're waiting today.
Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
That really ruined the funny quotes for me. He's the upside down hat guy.
Yep.
I can't do that.
This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I'm Derek Kramer. That's Zach Jones, who now wants a guy banned from the tour just because he has an upside-down logo.
Gone.
And we're joined still, and furthermore, by Kevin Sylvester. He of Tee to Green, PGA Radio, ESPN+, and you may or may not have grown up watching him, depending on how old you are.
Thanks.
But at least you know, growing up or watching him, you still watched him.
I think they watched the Sabres. I'm not, you know, I think the only person who tuned in because of me was, like, family.
Take it.
And even then, some didn't.
Hey, man. So. It still works.
That's all right. I'm okay with it. It was fun. It's a great time.
And speaking of fun, you know, we have a fun little discussion about a dude who needs to sneak off to take a tinkle.
So now, let me just comment on that real quick. So, first of all, that is a rookie. He's an amateur. That's a complete rookie mistake.
Yes.
There are strategic. You have to plan. This is how I plan. Mm-hmm. If I'm walking with a group on PGA Tour Radio, like last week I was in San Antonio, I map out when I have a bio break.
Yes.
Map it out.
Yep. Yes.
I know where the porta potties are. Now, there's player porta potties, but the broadcasters, we use them too. So I know on which holes, like, all right, if I get to hole 7, there's a spot right there that's on my way to hole 8. That's an easy one to hop into. And then usually I'll find one in the background, 14, 15, and there you go. So for him not to have this mapped out, I mean, that's certainly – it's an important thing.
Yes.
To not – I mean, he can say, it didn't bother me. Like, dude, in Rays Creek, of all places?
Right.
Come on, where everybody saw it. Like, you may not be embarrassed, but that was not a good move. Yeah, not a good look.
You got to strategize. It's more than the game.
There's a player competing this week. I saw go a little further into the thicket last week on hole number 8 at TPC San Antonio, and I knew what he was doing. I said, there
Come
you
on,
go.
Guys. Like, we all know. I'm an aggressive road trip person when it comes to, like, your bathroom breaks. It's got to be when we stop to get gas, when we stop to get food, that's your bathroom break.
Yes.
I don't want to see everyone pulling over or like two exits later saying, oh, actually, I got to go to the bathroom. No, you don't.
You're 1,000% right.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, like, listen.
You can relate that to every man's life right there.
There are some times where, you know,
emergency maneuvers have to
take place.
Right. But if we stopped and then like 30 minutes later, you're like, I got to go to the bathroom. No, you don't.
But I promise you.
No, you don't.
I promise you every other player in this event, except for Ballester, have it mapped out when they're going to use the restrooms provided by Augusta. You can't see on television. They're well hidden. But I promise you, everyone has it mapped out. And the fact that you couldn't wait till the 14th tee box, there's got to be somewhere
close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're right there. You're
holy smokes, buddy.
Yeah, like if it was
your prostate can't be that enlarged right now as an amateur golfer when you're in college that you can't wait.
Yeah.
He is projected to tee off at 123 today. He is plus +4 through round one. So, I mean.
Yeah, you're probably not
going to. Nick Dunlap, but he's not having a great.
You may not see him in the. Well, if he's low amateur, he'll be there Sunday evening in the Butler cabin, or the presentation of the green jacket.
That would be interesting.
Could be. He's a really good player, actually, yes. At Arizona State. They have a long line of great players and Spaniards that have come through. John Rahm, of course, most notable.
All right, so to the Masters now. We did mention Rory McIlroy, who has started off today much better. He's through 3-1-under, which means now 1-under for the tournament. But yesterday, outside of Justin Rose, he felt like the story of the day, going from 4-under at 15, ending the day even par. You said you kind of had a theory, though, on the struggles Rory's having, notably the major struggles that he has.
Well, you look at Rory McIlroy, and he lives by the sword, he dies by the sword. And last year, look at the U.S. Open at Pine. He's got a chance.
Yeah.
I thought the shot on 15 is where he blew it. Like, too aggressive, that par 3 over the back of the green. What are the McIlroy misses? They're all long.
Mm-hmm.
Look at 15 yesterday. Now, even after last year, he examined it. He actually had lunch with Jack Nicklaus a couple of weeks ago and going over shot by shot his strategy to play Augusta National. And Jack, you know, is quoted. You can look at him and said, I told him I wouldn't change a thing. Now, that's going into it. But when you get into it, right? Now, 15. Let's look at the double at 15 yesterday. It's a new green. New greens are always firmer. They replace four greens. 15's one of them. And that ball was bouncing. Scotty played it before Rory. Scotty went off the back of the green down there after hitting a beautiful shot that was hole high. And it's just from 230 yards, 40 yards. It's tough to, on a new green, to hold the putting surface. So you got to make a decision. Am I going to lay up, which, you know, that might be the strategy. But when you got a 5 or 6 iron in hand, you don't want to lay up, right?
You're right. Come on.
And you know you got room behind the green. Now, Scheffler has the best hands in golf. The shot he hit this high shot with a ton of spin that stopped nearly immediately on the green. Rory does not have that. He's got really good hands, but Scotty has the best hands in golf to impact that spin on the golf ball. And McIlroy, the play to me is bumping that into the hill. If it's short, it's short. You got to accept 5 on that hole.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was willing to accept 5, and he paid the price. So, lesson learned. But then 17, what was his miss again? Long. Like, Scotty's miss was short in the bunker on 17. He got up and down. You've got to know where to miss. And Rory's misses have always been long, and that's where it paid. You know, look at 18 last year at Pinehurst. I've played that course with that exact pin position. And I don't, you know, people are on about missing the putt. That putt was so hard, not even funny. That's why you don't put it above the hole. You keep it below the hole, which DeChambeau did, and he won the golf tournament. So, and a lot of people have said if Rory had a different caddy, you know, it might be different. Someone that would, go and help him read putts. Someone that would make him change the club. Now, Harry's a great friend of his, childhood friend, and Rory has stood by him, and he's won twice this year. He just won the Players. So. Yeah. You know, it's again, live by the sword, die by the sword.
And that's the thing with the players, too. Like, I don't think a lot of people were, because we've been there and done this with Rory a lot of times. But it felt like, okay, so he's won the quote-unquote fifth major in golf. Like, here we go. He's going right into the Masters, great form, the whole thing. But it also felt like so Rory to he's going to have to fight his way back to even being in contention on Sunday after being really good for most of the first round. He was there with guys like Scheffler and DeChambeau, Rose kind of going away from everybody.
Well, here's the one thing on this golf course, the back nine charge, right? I mean, it doesn't begin until back nine on Sunday. Rory will make the cut.
Yeah.
And Rory will, I think, be within striking distance. If he's within 5 on Sunday, he's got a shot.
Yeah.
Because Rory can make eagles. And, you know, he can easily eagle 13 and 15 on Sunday. You know, that's when you go for it, right?
Yep.
You're going for the win. So he's not out of it by any means. I know no one's ever won the green jacket, has had 2 double bogeys, you know, on the card.
Yeah.
Well, so he's got to overcome that. It's better to do it early.
Right.
Then
right.
later, if it's going
to
happen.
Then have to wait
until
Sunday.
But it just shows you the margin. It's razor thin. Of winning on the PGA Tour. It's just like one little bad bounce, the ball could trickle into the water. I mean, it happens all the time.
We see it every year at the Masters. There'll be a guy playing well near water, and the round goes up in flames.
Hey, look at Oh, gosh, why can't I? The Italian golfer, why can't I think of him right? He won the Open Championship, but he was just playing last week. Then he had back problem. He rinsed it in Rays Creek. He was leading. Mm-hmm. And, oh, gosh, this is embarrassing. I can't remember his name.
It's not Finau, is it?
No, not Finau. The shorter guy from Italy. Oh, gosh. I'll look it up.
There we go. He won the
Arnold Palmer. He won the Open Championship. And then the following Masters, he was leading until he got the hole 12. And then it just all fell apart, and his mm-hmm. entire career fell apart. Like it just went all the way down, and he hasn't really recovered from it. And he's a great Molinari. Yep. Francesco Molinari, one of the great names to say. Francesco Molinari. It just like that hole seemed to do him in, not only for the Masters, but it seemed like for the rest of his career. Yeah, it really hasn't been the same since. It's like Mike Tyson when he got knocked out; he was done.
Yeah, and everything yeah. after that. I mean, he's fighting what?
Everything
like Jake
changes.
Paul.
Like it's a monumental sort of thing.
It's funny. Now, Jeff Mead is from TD Green's Texas. Molinari, you idiot! I'm like, I know.
Yeah, I might have Jeff tomorrow. I might have him or Brian. We're going to find out which one of them is going to be jumping in for Sports Talk Saturday. So it's good to be able to reunite with the gang from Tita Green here.
Yes, because you both used to produce the show,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
That means Evan's going to host a show next year.
We had to wake up early Saturday mornings, get here,
yep.
our cup of coffee. I never really want a cup of coffee. I'm an energy drink guy. I know it's a bad
I'm
thing,
actually neither. I'm a psychopath.
Yeah, you're just up. I can't do that.
I started drinking coffee because of morning radio back mm-hmm. at WBEN in 1997.
Yep.
Now, listen, bars used to close at 4. I was a young guy then. And I remember coming in. I don't care about telling the story. If Tim Wenger's listening, Tim was still in charge then. there was one morning I came in. The great Bill Lacey was the morning show host,
mm-hmm.
and they had the old WBN studio had a news booth and the main announce booth. It's kind of like this setup.
Yep.
And I come in. I had not been home. All right, I'll just say that
I had not been home,
and I come in and they started. Like, let's go to sports with Kevin Sylvester. And I start in and I just. And talk back when I play a Jim Kelly cart. Mm-hmm. You know, do we have cart machines?
No, yeah.
Anyways, it's all computerized now. But anyways,
the cart machines from Buff State.
So yep. I play the cart, and Bill and Talkback goes, "You sound terrible." and then I go back on, and at the end he goes, "You better get a cup of coffee." And I'm like, "Bill, I don't drink coffee." He's like, "You do today, kid. Go get one.
You're gonna figure it out. You're gonna learn today.
Drink coffee, yes, and learn to go home."
which is maybe the key there is to go home,
yeah.
get a few hours.
Be home is the lesson here, kids. So when it comes down, like obviously with the Masters and everything that's going on here, one of the topics of discussion over these past few years has been the landscape of the PGA Tour with LIV Golf and everything that's going on there and the future of that. Kevin, what is it looking like right now with how those LIV players are? Because like outside of DeChambeau, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of improvement or continued elite play from a lot of those LIV golfers.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, let me preface my statements. Like, I work for the PGA Tour.
Yes.
As a contractor. So I'm just putting that out there. Some say, well, he works for the tour. Yes, I'm aware of that.
Yes.
Okay. And they do not include me, surprisingly, in any of these meetings. I mean, I am just shocked.
Which is just disrespect.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Get Kev Sylvester to the meetings.
It's fractured. I understand why, you know, some players win. I mean, if someone offered you that kind of money, you could certainly understand it. But you're choosing money over legacy, and I think that's panned out. I think that has panned out. DeChambeau works at his game tirelessly. Like, mm-hmm. he was on the range to dark last night,
yeah.
and he played pretty well. He's always working on his game. You know, the other guys certainly have had moments. Koepka last year played well in the Masters
yep.
tournament. So it's not like they haven't played well. I do think there's some edge lost when you've got that security blanket, you know, like mm-hmm. if you guys each got $5 million sitting in your bank accounts, you may not do as much research before the show.
Yeah, 100%. I can understand where these guys where you don't have to make the cut. You know,
sure.
they paid for everything. It's like, yeah, all right, cool.
Yeah, you go out and you play golf, and you're probably good enough where you can compete,
yeah.
right? And I'm not saying they don't have the desire to win. They certainly do, right? And then as far as what everybody wants, hey, are they coming together? Are they coming together? I don't know. I know mm-hmm. they continuously talk about trying to figure out how does it work. But I also, you look at the ratings this year for the PGA Tour, they're
yeah,
up, they're up. Higher. When LIV has something that's rateable, it's not,
mm-hmm.
right?
It's, yep.
It just doesn't seem to be the interest. And the format, to me, is not you know, again, I'm more of a traditionalist. We're arguing about the Masters, yep. So you might like it. I particularly
actually
don't.
Funny enough, I can't stand it. I love okay. I love how like the yeah. PGA Tour does.
Because
it
here's the problem. Here's
even from the casual lens, like I barely hear anything about like when do those people play again? Like when do those guys play? Good question. I don't know.
But if you're making a comeback, right, and you could be finishing on a hole 15, I think, on because they do a shotgun.
Yep.
So you could essentially finish in hole 15 instead of 18 and win. Like, where's the drama in that? Where's the drama in the guy who's leading you, chasing him down, mm-hmm. hearing the roars with that? So I think that's part of the challenge. And the other thing the PGA Tour has done, which I think is brilliant, they found a way to essentially do what the NFL and NBA does.
Mm.
Let's get the best players out of college to come
right.
in. They draft them. It's through PGA Tour University. There's a point system. Luke Clanton just qualified mm-hmm. this year. Now he's going to play his college season and then next year join the tour. So they found a way. Oberg is a PGA Tour University guy. Hey, how did we get this guy on the PGA Tour right away? Boom. So it's another avenue for young players who are really good.
And it builds stars early. You get to know them younger before they become those big names.
Well, that's the other part that is key here. The PGA Tour with its television, PGA Tour Live, PGA Tour, their media entities, it's able to make stars. So Brian Campbell, not the former Sabre defenseman who laid out R.J. Umberger in the playoffs on Easter Sunday, but Brian Campbell won the Mexican Open at Vedanta World, right? I mean, he wins in a playoff there, and all of a sudden his life's changed. Now you have the ability for the Brian Campbells of the world, the Joe Highsmiths, the lefty wears the sunbrim, who just made the cut on a Friday and wins. A 72-hole tournament, not a 54-hole, 72-hole tournament, and he wins that on a Sunday. The PGA Tour leaves that ability to make stars.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jake Knapp, I think, is one of those guys that, we all – it's a house – becoming a household name because he's getting more TV time because he won in Mexico. He's a personality.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Hulk Hogan pythons out there. He loves hockey, by the way.
There we go.
I talked Anaheim Ducks with him and Ryan Miller with him a couple weeks ago, actually.
Beautiful.
So – they make room for those players. So all that said, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think at some point you'll see players make. There's a ton of money with LIV,
mm-hmm.
but the tour is doing really well.
Yeah, the tour is still the tour, and that's the thing too. Like a lot of these guys, they get to that point in their career where they're like, I'm here for the majors. Like that. Like that's where I'm making my legacy and all that stuff. I think Koepka's kind of become that guy a little bit where – you don't really hear about him, and then it's every major he's going to be there. Or maybe
when Koepka signed, this was on. Do you guys watch Full Swing at all?
Every now and then,
on Netflix.
Yep.
So in Full Swing, the Koepka episode was before he was injured.
Yeah.
He was worried about his knee, like what was going to happen, and figured he couldn't compete with the guys anymore. So this offer comes and it's like,
he's like, I got to take it.
Yeah, I got to take this, right? If I can't win anymore mm-hmm. out there, then why wouldn't I take this?
And then he goes and wins at Oak Hill.
Then he goes and wins at Oak Hill. Because he is a competitor and he's got a different mindset and mentality for that. He'd won too. I think he'd won at LIV prior to that also. So it's not like these guys, like they're winning in their own league, and if that's all that's available to you, then that's all you can do, I guess.
I did want to ask you, because speaking about stars there, I think it's Joaquin Niemann is how you say his last
name?
Yes,
Joaquin Niemann, yes.
He has sort of become LIV's first star that we created. Like, he didn't come over already having won championships or be the name. Like, he has sort of become this sort of face of the new LIV golfer. There was some feelings coming in the Masters. I think Phil Mickelson has even called him the world's number one ranked golfer. I think that's what he was saying, which no.
No.
No. He's even par. He goes off at, I think, about 110 today.
He's a heck of a player.
Yeah.
But he was a name on the PGA Tour before going to LIV. So I would argue no. Matter of fact, I worked his first – his debut was in San Antonio 2017. I think he might have been a 17-year-old.
Oh, wow.
That was his, and he made the cut and had a good showing. But no, he'd been a winner on the PGA Tour. So no, he was an entity. That was a good get by them, dude.
Yeah.
He's a really good young player. It wouldn't surprise me if he wins a major at some point in his career.
All right. And then I do want to ask you about Oberg, because we were talking about him in the break. He is a fascinating player to me because he looks like a robot. Like, I know people joke that he looks like Ivan Drago, which yes. I agree. I've seen him maybe smile once. It was when he won the Genesis this year. Like, he's just, he's so stoic. He's so good. Three shots back of the league now. Justin Rose at 8-under, Oberg and DeChambeau both tied and for second with 5-under par.
When he won the RSM Classic, I think it was two falls ago,
mm-hmm.
I worked that tournament and I had his group. And like, when you get a golfer, like, you stay with him the full week, no matter what. So yeah. I had Ludvig Oberg, and we called him Aberg back then. But anyways, it changed. We got the proper pronunciation. And he didn't crack a smile until I asked him to in the interview after the win. Like, you're going to smile now that you want? He's like, yeah, it's good. You know, like,
hey, you know what? You did it. First one.
But he, I just remember that week watching him drive the golf ball and just, it had the sound that Rory has, you know, the sound that Tiger has. Like, you could just tell the pop off the bat, if you will. And he was so much further ahead
mm-hmm.
and just controlling his emotions, which you have to do to win. Now, you got to look like a duck.
Yep.
The PGA Tour. Duck, you know, calm on top of the wind. The legs are going, probably going furiously. Like, mm-hmm. Their heart's probably pumping. You'll hear players talk about, I walk slower, you know, take certain breaths. But you knew, I just knew watching this guy, like, this guy is a stud. He's a star. And, you know, he would have won at Torrey Pines earlier this year, the Farmers Insurance, but he got sick mm-hmm. and he had the flu and he had to withdraw from Pebble Beach. But then he came back and won at Torrey Pines. So,
so there you go.
Yeah. Together. He's, again, guy who came through college, outstanding player. That Clanton kid's going to be great. Theor Bjornsson, who came out of college, too, through PGA Tour University, he's going to be another good player. There's so many that are coming out that aren't intimidated by playing against.
Yep.
Here's the other thing. They're not playing against Tiger.
Yep. Yep.
Right?
Yeah, that's a huge deal.
Scotty can be intimidated. He's such a nice guy. Like, Tiger wouldn't even look at you. And they have these giant groups, and there's Tiger roars. Now, as much as they roar for Rory and Scotty, trust me, I've heard them in person covering them. There is nothing like a Tiger Woods gallery and roar.
And you hear that from a lot of the guys who did play. I think now it's more towards the end of the Tiger prime, but they still talk about it, how much it was like, no, that was a genuine fear factor of having to be near his group, in his group, what have you. Like, it was a thing. And it's not really there. I mean, we were talking about it too, I think, on air. Some people want to say that Scotty's getting close to the Tiger peak, where as good as he's playing, it's not.
It's close.
Mm-hmm.
It's close. Like, if he wins this week, which I think he will, but it's close.
It's close.
I mean, that year last year was incredible, and the whole thing at the PGA Championship, he probably would have won that week too. I mean,
that's the worst part is I think most people acknowledge that if he doesn't get arrested, he probably wins because he still played well that day.
But here's what we've seen. This is what we've seen over the last decade or so on the PGA Tour. You have players who reach that pinnacle, and then they fall. It's hard to maintain it. Life happens. Look at Xander Schauffele, right? I mean, any other year, he's the player of the year. But mm-hmm. Scheffler won eight times. And Schauffele wins two majors. He would have been the player of the year. But then he hurt his ribs. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't been the same. Like, he just came back a few weeks ago. He came back at the Arnold Palmer and, you know, he made the cut, fighting to make the cut. Xander Schauffele was right there. I mean, he was unbelievable last year. And again, and so he kind of reaches that spot and then rib injury happens.
Yeah.
That's happening. The guy we saw with Jason Day, he had the injuries. You know, Dustin Johnson was number one and fell off. John Rahm was number one and left.
And
like,
left.
You know, so all these things, attrition, we'll call it, happens.
Yeah. And that's kind of probably what makes it different with Tiger is that for the longest time he was able to stay as dominant as he was, and that's where those words are different. But it'll be interesting to see if Scheffler is able to keep things going here and try to challenge for a little bit of that noise.
Yeah, no, believe me, Scotty's driven. I mean, he's a competitor. He wants to win. You don't win if you don't have something.
Right.
As much as he wins and has one, if there's not something. But his hands are amazing. I mean, really, he is so good. Find a weakness in Scotty's game. Everybody's talking about
the putting.
Well, was it? I mean, everybody's talking about he's not a good putter. Like, well, okay, he was ranked 40th.
Right.
I mean, 40th in the world with putting. And then he changes putters, and then bam, all of a sudden. And if you looked at his round yesterday, his misses were just off.
Yeah. I mean,
just off. And that's just reading the line. Mm-hmm. That's all that is. He just had the line off a bit. And he'll make those adjustments. But he always holes out from a bunker, chips in, just all these things that are just and you can always sense it when Scotty's going to do something. Like, the times I've followed him, I'm like, all right, you know what? This is hole 10 this year at Waste Management. On the turn, he's kind of struggling a bit. And I even said, they come to me, let's go out to Kevin Sylvester. And I'm like, Scotty Scheffler's in the fairway bunker here. And, you know, this is about the time Scotty pulls something off and he holds out for eagle. Like, I could just, you could just sense it. You could just sense it by looking at him and following him enough. Like, I know it's going to happen. And it was kind of cool. His dad came over. He's like, man, I heard a great call. Like,
he has become that inevitable player that you know. A move is coming. Something's going to happen.
He does have that presence. Jordan Spieth kind of had that too. Like a lot of people, you said Jordan Spieth had that Tiger-like presence where he'd walk into a room and he's just trying to see he had all the attention. Jordan's a little taller than he looks on TV, and he kind of does have that presence, although injuries have had him falling off a little bit, but he's still a fun guy to watch play golf. Scotty has that presence when he walks into the room. He's a little taller, but he actually has that presence, but it's all around a super nice guy.
Kevin Sylvester here on the West Her Hotline. Before we get you out of here, thanks so much, by the way, spending an hour with us. I mean,
thanks for letting me invite myself to come in. Zach said, hey, can you come on the phone? And I had a meeting next door this morning. So I said, yeah, I'll come on. It got down early. So I enjoyed being in here.
I appreciate it.
It has not changed in 20 years.
No, by the way. Probably won't change for another 20.
Speaking of traditions.
Before you get out of here, though, you guys have a special 2-hour tee to green tomorrow morning.
We're on 2 hours tomorrow?
Yeah, 2 hours, 7 to 9.
Wow. Yes. I thought we were just an hour. Oh, we have to adjust some plans.
Hey, you know what? Good thing you stopped in because now we let you know.
I'm supposed to play tomorrow. I don't know if it's late morning or early. I'm hoping to get my first outdoor round in.
There we go.
Like I've golfed in the dojo a few times, but I'm hoping to get my first outdoor round.
There we go. I hope for you because I need to.
Get we need to play. Like and especially we're watching everybody's watching the Masters. Like you want to get out there and play.
It's a problem.
Right? Yes,
it's such a problem.
It is a thing. Yeah, like you watch something, and you go, I want a piece of it. Like I want a little bit of my own. Like I'm watching, for example, March Madness, and it's like I went looking for old college basketball video games.
Yeah,
like it was like I kind of want to like play a little bit of that myself. I'm not a basketball player, so I'm not going to go out and try to dribble. But like, and for example, you know it. I you guys have offered me an opportunity to take up the golfing lessons, and I still haven't.
You have to produce Tee to Green to get that offer. You're no longer producing it, so you're out.
So that means you're out.
You're done.
That means you're out, too.
I am out.
So I never took up that offer, but I do have something that golfers do, and that's a bad back.
That hits every golfer at every point in life, a little tender back. That's why you got to stretch and take care of things.
Kevin Sylvester here on the Western Hotline. We've got to take a quick timeout here, 803-0550, the number to call if you want to join the show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com. Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer continue to roll along here in hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And that is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We've only got a handful of Sabres games left this year. They did lose last night 3-2 to Columbus. There were some highlight moments, though, namely JJ Paterka and Rasmus Dahlin. They've only got four games left, though. Back-to-back this weekend, Florida and Tampa. They're in Florida for both those games. And then home games against Toronto on Tuesday, and then Philadelphia on Thursday.
I do like the fact that the Sabres do have like an active role in how the Atlantic Crown is going to shape up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be very important between Toronto and Tampa on how does this shake out. Because if the Toronto Maple Leafs don't win the Atlantic, your matchup in the first round is the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, and they'll hate that. And they will not like that.
Yeah, so Florida's the team that's probably not going to win it. They have one less game,
mm-hmm.
And they're in 96 points. So they're 1 point behind Tampa, 4 points behind Toronto. They're probably not winning the division. What you want to try to do is get home ice advantage within round one. And that is, well, beating the Sabres will help.
Yeah, get that done.
Get that done. But Buffalo can really mess with Tampa and Toronto in interesting ways here coming up.
Toronto at 100 points.
Toronto at 100 points.
I want to say, like, yeah, anything's different for them. I need to see them in the playoffs be good, be competent.
They need to.
Their top guys be good. Yeah, win. I don't want to say I need to see them make a cup run.
Just show me.
Just show me. Like, they finally got through the first round issue, what, 2 years ago? A year ago? And then immediately cratered against. You mentioned Florida in the second round. It was a disaster. Right? It was Florida?
It was Florida.
There was a disaster. Their big three, if you want to call them that, big four, the offensive guys, produced basically no points. And it was like, oh, okay, there's playoff Toronto. Never mind. There, we waited
Toronto
a series.
Toronto has the easiest way to get there. They mm-hmm. Obviously, they have the 3 points up on Tampa, both at 78 games. Their opponents are Montreal, Carolina, Buffalo, Detroit.
Yeah.
Tampa, it's Detroit, Buffalo, Florida, and the Rangers.
I really do want to see a Toronto-Montreal series. I do.
You won't.
I know, but I want to.
So the thing is that the way that that has to happen is Ottawa has to collapse after clinching a playoff
spot. And they're not – and they're well, I mean, they could.
Montreal's won 6 straight.
I want to see that matchup so bad. Like, I don't care to see Washington-Montreal. I just don't.
Yeah.
I just don't care to
but
see that
also,
at all.
But also, we've seen Montreal beat Toronto in the first round of a playoff.
Well, actually, no. Toronto-Ottawa is also a really good matchup. Never mind.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
But there's a big difference between facing Toronto with Ottawa and Montreal
mm-hmm.
versus Toronto against Florida.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a massive difference in your fan base confidence, in the team trying to get out of its early round struggles. There's a vast difference in confidence
mm-hmm.
of being able to do that if you have to face the Florida Panthers. Who, by the way, would get Matthew Tkachuk back for the playoffs.
That's the expectation, right, is that he's going to be back to go. Now, are we going to see him get like any kind of game time leading up to this? I don't think so. I haven't
probably
seen
not.
Any reports on that.
There's
so
only,
it might
they
just
only
be,
have 3 games left.
Yeah, anyway. It might just be game one. If he's healthy, here we go. And, yeah, he is that difference factor for you. I mean, they haven't had him for half the year because
God,
of the Four Nations.
Can you imagine the all-dirtbag line of Tkachuk, Marchand, and Sam Bennett?
You'll probably get it for a little bit. But,
oh, my God.
But Florida hasn't had him since the Four Nations.
It's got to be the most punchable line in hockey.
They haven't had him since the Four Nations, and they're still only 4 points out from first in the Atlantic. Where are they if they had Tkachuk all year?
Right. They're probably winning the division.
Probably winning the division. So,
and
yeah,
without
so,
him, they're 4 points off.
Yeah, so your point on Toronto, yeah, like it all of a sudden becomes wavering and like, oh no, we have to go up against them. Tampa, Florida, I think that'd be a fun first series. I think that'd be really good. Get the Battle of Florida.
Tampa had a chance to really, like, get the inside track on the division mm-hmm. A couple nights ago. They lost in overtime to Toronto.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there's a few good playoff series. I'm fascinated what's going to go on with Washington. I've mentioned
yes.
it when Ovi got the record. I want them to make a cup run or win it.
But most
numbers seems like don't love them.
But also, most numbers don't love Montreal. So they'll at least get through the first round and steamroll.
Yeah. Montreal, by the way, a minus 17 goal difference. They have the 1-6 straight. They are getting hot, it seems, at the right time. They're winning games.
Something that Chad DeDominis has said of, like, they're PDO merchants, and it makes sense. They get outshot to holy hell, and Sam Montabeau is saving their season.
It's a great last name. It's a great last name.
I've seen you do it for other teams. Why not here? Yeah. Like, that's where it comes from. Like, Montreal has now become, like, the antithesis of me wanting to have hope. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, why the hell do the Montreal Canadiens get to go back to the playoffs? And I have to stand here.
For me, more it's Ottawa. Ottawa and Buffalo have sort of been, along with Detroit, have kind of been hand-in-hand in bad teams in the East trying to build themselves
now
up.
Now I get to see both of these clowns.
Yeah, and it's both of them. Detroit and you are still bad.
Yeah.
And so that's more the frustration. We'll see, though. I am going to watch the Stanley Cup playoffs. I've enjoyed them the last few years. I would obviously enjoy them more if my favorite team was in them, but I have watched a lot of it. I've really enjoyed the hockey. I like how quickly the league seemingly changes its style of play to a much more aggressive, fast-paced style that only some teams play at.
Yes.
100% of the time. And there's always a series or two that I'm just captivated by. There's also a team that I usually will randomly pick that I hope wins the cup. This year, it's Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, I want to see make a cup run. Winnipeg, I genuinely like to see win a cup.
Okay.
I love the whiteout whenever they're at home. They always seem to have really good talent.
Didn't Paul Maurice last year say something about, like, he would want to see his old team in Winnipeg?
I believe so, yeah. Obviously, after he had won. But there's a few teams I'd like to see win. Minnesota's always going to be up there.
Yes.
Though
Minnesota, I don't know, man. They're a little shaky of a team.
And it also looks like they're going to have to play Vegas first, so.
Cool.
Not great. Not awesome. That'll be a series, though, I'd be glued to. To be perfectly honest, that's a series I'd be glued to. Now that you're going to have Eriksson-Ek and Kirill Kaprizov back, I'd be glued to that series. Does it probably end in four? That's Minnesota sports for you.
No, it ends in seven. It's heartbreak.
That's a rematch from a few years ago, too.
Is it?
And it went seven. Okay. Oh, 2021, I think.
Okay. It went seven.
See, I'd be there for it. I'd be glued to that.
So, ready? You want the heartbreak, the Minnesota way? It goes seven.
Go to seven, losing overtime.
Yeah, that's how it happened the last time those two teams squared off.
That's awful. That's awful.
That's Minnesota hockey for you. The Minnesota Wild are typically this team that is always good but never good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that would encapsulate it, losing in seven to Vegas. You're good.
Yeah.
You're just not getting it done.
Well, they were that for over a decade. Zach Parise, and who was the other free agent they brought in that same year?
That was Ryan Suter. And Zach Parise.
Yeah, and they just...
For the longest time, they were that ever since Chuck Fletcher threw those disastrous contracts out
there. Cap hell forever. Good
they're
team,
still
never
them,
great.
I think.
They're still paying them.
I think next year's the year they're out. I do know that's coming,
It's coming
to end.
Soon, but Bill Guerin took the medicine on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had to work with roster construction on that with such huge cap hits. And I see it again. Why can't it happen for us? Minnesota's
they're
in a different
them,
kind of seat. Ready? Yeah. Give me more depression.
They're paying them $7.3 million each this year and then $800,000 for the next 3 years.
Okay. So they're still on the books at least for a few more years. Okay.
$7.3 million each on their cap hit. And Minnesota is a playoff team. And I'm standing here on Baltic with a bottle cap.
Yeah.
I had to make sure I kept it radio clean.
It does help when you have Gustafson, Kaprizov. That'll help.
The Sabres have Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin.
Yeah, they don't have goaltending.
I know.
That's where Gustafson
comes in. The
problem
is when I say those names, neither of them are goalies.
Yeah, neither of them are goalies. And that's kind of the end all be all. Because when I bring up Winnipeg, Hellebuck.
I'm ready. Depression.
Gustafson, by the way. This team has a minus goal differential. Gustafson, though. 30 wins, 18 losses, 2.54 goals against save percentage, 915.
Why the heck does it not happen for me?
803-0550, the number to call. One more segment here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show before we get you to Sabres Live. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we get you ready for Sabres Live coming up in 10 minutes. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We're talking a little bit there in the break, still on the Sabres. I've heard Paul Hamilton bring this point up a lot, and it seems to be true. Owen Power has not gotten attacked all that much recently by this fan base. It can't be because he's teaming up with Bernard Docker, can it?
Henry Yukihiro is off the hockey team and the team is better defensively?
Well, I would say the same Sabres thing about the Angels coming with up Rendon. Next. Yeah, like it might be right. I'd say the same thing about the Angels with Anthony Rendon. He's left the team and the team has a better vibe around it.
Yes.
And
yeah. Like, Yukihiro wasn't a vibe thing. It was
No.
It was a he doesn't play in his own zone very well thing. Like, that's what it was. And I'm okay with that. What's up with the Sabres and Finnish defensemen ever since Tony Lidman? I don't know. But it's never been good. I look, though, at the Sabres, and like I look at the Wild, and I look at the Canadiens and the Senators both making the playoffs, and I go back to that same question of, I've seen you do it for other teams. Why not me?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, like the fan base deserves something better is kind of the thing of it. But at the same time, do we? Welcome to 10 years of looking back on the tank.
Yeah, I knew that conversation would probably kind of rear its head a little bit.
Karmically, I think we got what we deserved at this point.
It's tough. I'm a fence sitter with it. I know you do have to be bad for a while to usually get good players. It does happen that way.
Legit. Logically, it makes sense like why that all happened. It was, we could have done a little quieter.
I think that's my thing is I'll never really love the cheering, actively cheering for it.
Yeah, that was what happened. I think we're cursed in that way of like, no, you guys dictated when you guys were saying, no, we're not supposed to win now. And now you're not supposed to win ever.
Especially, and now the last few years, their elite offensive players, JJ Paterka, a second round pick, Tage Thompson.
A trade acquisition,
a late first round pick, and you kind of had to change his position to all of a sudden get the most out of him to now what he is now. You know, your highest first round pick, you know, post the first overall picks, Matthew Savoy is not even on the roster anymore. You traded him for Ryan McLeod.
For a good piece.
Don't get me wrong, but it's more the ninth overall guy barely sees the NHL roster now for Edmonton, where Osland and Roseanne.
And like I said before,
Yuri Kulik, these are mid-first round picks.
You've got four games left. They're against some pretty good teams. And Philly to end the year. But you have a chance to at least, hey, can you look impressive to round it out?
And end the year on a high note. And
give me something to attach to. Zach Benson, keep doing your thing. He looks like he's comfortable in that first line.
Benson's fun, man. Tage. Benson's fun.
If you have three lines that you could suddenly rotate in there and they're all dangerous in their own right, that's not a bad thing.
Well, and if you've also figured out the partner for Owen Power.
Still get a top four defenseman.
Yep, still get a top four. But it all of a sudden becomes, okay, the season isn't ride and die on this. It does become, as many of us have acknowledged, goaltending. Who is your goalie opening night next year? It probably can't be Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Probably can't.
That's going to do it for me and Derek. Coming up next after a quick timeout, we'll get more on the Sabres. They do have a back-to-back in Florida this weekend. They lost last night to Columbus. Sabres Live. After a quick timeout, you're listening to WGR.
Oh, and we'll see you on Monday.